Every day, in communities just like yours, men and women devote their lives to building our economies, brick by brick and job by job. These are their stories. You're listening to From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers.
Welcome, everyone, to From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers. I'm Tim Tarantine, pleased to be here with Ms. Carla Winchester. And Carla, we're here to celebrate today economic developers who are making a difference. But before we do, we were at a summit together recently with some site consultants, and I asked them a question about data and about what they really needed from economic developers in terms of data. And their response blew us both away. Give us your take on their response to that question.
Well, Tim, one of the things that I really enjoy about the summit series is the roundtable discussion, because getting the insights from over 16 site consultants over the course of 2 days in that roundtable format, you learn a lot of great nuggets and great pieces of information that you can bring back to your community. So to answer your question about data, it was a really great question about what data site consultants really expect economic developers to have. And what was really insightful was that from the site consultants' perspective, they really don't need us to provide the data that we typically can get off of subscriptions, because most of them already have access to that data and, in fact, have already narrowed that data down, which is why they're calling us for additional data. So that leads us to the question of what do we really need to be able to provide them? And one of the things that they were specifically talking about was on workforce and the real story on our workforce. And that's data that they cannot get on a subscription. They don't often know until they get on the phone with an economic developer and go a little deeper. So they are looking for, what workforce do you have? And that's something that over the course of this year in Consultant Connect, we're going to be exploring a little bit more. We're going to have a webinar series that talks specifically on that. And how do you begin to, as an economic developer, start to storytell and start to gain those stories and those insights and that data on a local level about your workforce, amongst some of the other things that site consultants need.
Excellent. Come to the summits and get those insights and many more. ConsultantConnect.org is where you can go to find out more information about how you can get insights from site selectors. So we're celebrating Wade Goodsell today. He is the Business Attraction Account Manager for the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. Wade's been in that particular position for 2 years. However, he's done some work for Governor Walker and Lieutenant Governor Clefitch in strategic outreach efforts to out-of-state companies to come to Wisconsin, and he's done a great job with that. The site selection community heralds his work. Before he came to the WEDC, he used to work for the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce Association, which was a membership organization there. So he got to meet both the companies and the economic developers involved. I'm sure that you'll enjoy insights from Wade as we go into the conversation. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the discussion. Wade, welcome to the call. We're so happy to have you today, and congratulations on being named one of North America's top 50 economic developers.
Hi, Tim. Thank you so much. It's always nice to be thought of, especially by those that you work with. So thank you very much. It's good to be with you today.
Absolutely. Wade, we start at the same place with everyone I talk to. Tell us how you got your start in this industry. Did economic development find you, or did you find it?
Well, I think similar to probably what most others have mentioned to you, economic development found me. I got a call from a friend saying that the state of Wisconsin was looking for a salesperson. And so that's kind of how economic development found me. And so over the last few years, I've transitioned from more or less a salesperson into an economic developer. And I really have two colleagues to credit with that. One being Tricia Brown has really taught me a lot about real estate and site selection. And two, my colleague Mary Gage, who I work with closely here in our Madison office, has really taught me a lot about both our program's economic development and then also the economic development landscape in the state of Wisconsin. So really have those two to thank for going from a salesperson into an economic developer.
Which one of those skills, or what set of those skills that you had in sales, do you think are most helpful today in your work as an economic developer? Because I know there's some transferable skills there, but tell us about it.
Absolutely. I think unequivocally, the most beneficial thing is better relationship building, both understanding the client's need, understanding the consultants and their deadlines, and putting ourselves into the company and the consultant's shoes, trying to identify that business need, being empathetic to that, and then being creative in terms of driving solutions.
And if you could tell a room full of economic developers from your sales perspective, what would you encourage other economic developers or our industry to do that's more like a salesperson than an economic developer? How would you encourage them?
Well, somewhat counterintuitively, my recommendation would be do less sales and more relationship building. Sales is often thought of as a one-way transaction, but relationship building is a two-way interaction. It's finding common ground, win-win situations for mutual benefit. When you have a chance to meet someone, no one cares right away in terms of what your targeted industries are, what your community strengths are. They want to get to know you as a person and build that mutual respect and trust and know that you're able to take care of their company or their client.
No question about it. I think you're spot on. Let's talk about the industry as a whole and how we see it. I mean, the next few questions really are about your perspective. Our industry is going through a lot of changes. We have generational issues. We've got shifts in the marketplace, shifts in expectations. When you look at how we do the business, if you were given the magic wand to change the economic development industry, what two changes would you make immediately with that wand?
That's a great question. I think the first change that I would make, and we see this here in Wisconsin, but I think we also especially see this nationally. Demographic trends are always a concern. If I had the magic wand, an influx of young professionals and young talent, both here in Wisconsin, also throughout the country, you know, unfortunately, that can only be done with a magic wand. But the second thing that I'd change in the profession, and one thing that is my advice to a lot of our local economic development organizations, really refine your value proposition. I often refer to it as know what you want to be when you grow up. No community is great at seven or eight different things. What are the three things that when I think of your community, you want me to associate? You know, you can't have seven or eight different driver industries or eight or nine different core areas of focus. We all have limited time, limited resources. So be very targeted in terms of when you say your community, know the three things that you want associated with that.
Let me ask you about this industry issue again. We talked about what changes you would make. Now I'd like for you to talk about the changes that you think there'll have to be in talent. So the types of people that economic developers would hire a decade ago, it's a different person. It's a different set of talents and strengths for today. Can you talk about the difference you see in the types of talent we need to be successful in this business today and moving forward?
Yeah. And as I mentioned, this being only my third year in economic development, I'm not sure that I have quite the perspective, but I'm somewhat bullish on the profession moving forward. I think it's attributed to a few things. One, I think the ability to cultivate and be strategic in mutually beneficial relationships, that's going to be a timeless skill. And I think that may become more critical as the next generation comes into the workforce and we see more of a virtual and remote workforce. I think the interpersonal skills and relationship skills are only going to become more paramount. But I'm also somewhat bullish about the future of the profession. Actually, I've heard from two colleagues, both in real estate over the last month, wanting to connect me with a young professional in Milwaukee, a young professional in Chicago, both in grad school urban planning programs, looking at economic development, starting to continue it, exploring joining the profession. You know, I think 10 years ago, economic development wasn't very well known. My opinion is coming out of the recession, folks have had a more visible and a better understanding of what economic development is and a little bit better understanding of what economic developers do. And so I think that we're going to see folks continue to kick the tires on the profession, and hopefully more folks will pursue economic development and find it rather than myself, who kind of economic development found me.
Let's transition now to failure. I think it's an important topic to cover because, you know, you don't win every project and all the relationships in every community aren't great. You're in a larger organization that covers a larger geographic area. And so you've seen what it's like to win and you've seen what it's like to miss. Tell us about a failure you've had as a leader in this business and what you've learned about yourself and maybe even our industry from that failure.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, economic development, as you're working on projects and trying to close deals, it's somewhat like baseball. You know, if you're hitting 350, you're going to be an all-star. If you're hitting 200, you might go back down to the minor leagues. Unfortunately, no one bats a thousand.
Nobody bats
in this industry.
That's correct.
You know, as much as we may like to, I think really a lesson that we've learned here in Wisconsin, especially on our business investment and attraction team, is know what our lane is. I mentioned knowing your sweet spot, but know what your lane is. Some industries, we have an inherently very competitive advantage. For instance, in manufacturing, I think that our fiscal climate and tax landscape, I'll put that up against anyone in the country. When you're talking about precision manufacturing, both our business climate and our availability of talent, that really is a sweet spot for us here. There's other sectors that, sure, they may be emerging industries. We may have pockets of that industry, but that might not be our forte, similar to that precision manufacturing. So one of the lessons that I've learned and that I continue to learn is know your lane and really know your value proposition. As you're in a deal, sometimes you realize, yeah, we're somewhat of the home team. We really have a good feel on this. And other times, now we're swimming upstream and we may need to get a little creative on this.
Wow, great insights. I think you hit it spot on. I hope our listening audience takes to heart the perspective you just gave. Let's continue to talk about team and developing team, because you obviously are passionate about the types of people that you want to have there. You understand that to do that, you need good culture, good relationships. How are you building the type of culture that's going to help your organization be competitive years to come?
I think the biggest thing for me personally, Tim, is at the start of every week and even at the start of every morning, we have the opportunity to control one thing and one thing only, and that's our attitude going into the day. I wish I could say that every day that's bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, but in terms of contributing to organizational culture and contributing to the state, we can't always guarantee the outcomes on projects or potential projects or site selection deals, but we can control what we learn from it and how we respond to it. So I think in terms of servant leaderhood, both treat others as you'd want to be treated and bring that attitude to work every day that you expect of your colleagues and peers and leadership and employees.
Well, you're spot on, and that's just not for winning the deal, right? I mean, that's the attitude and culture we have to build to work with all the different groups it takes to bring a single job to a community.
You know, I've often heard the question, tell me about a good day at your office. So this is a good day in our office. About a year ago, we were wrapping up a precision manufacturing project. It was a 350,000 square foot deal, created 140 jobs in a community in southern Wisconsin. Pretty competitive project. We were fortunate enough to win the project. And the personal highlight of it for me is the president of the construction division that was leading the site search for this company. He called me the morning after the local city council approved the incentive, and he said, Wade, I'm so glad we're going into this community. Never has this happened to me before. People were giving me their business cards at the city council public approval process because they said they were both excited and ready to come work for my company. He said, I've never seen that happen before. So that's the benefits and the blessing of being in economic development. And that's really a good day in the office, having wins like that.
Wow, what a great example. Excellent example. Final question, and I'm going to get you out of here on this one. It's a rapid-fire question. I'm going to say a word. You respond with your immediate thought or what comes to mind when I say the word. All of these words are going to be words that are synonymous with our industry and the work we have to do every day. Workforce.
National problem.
The solution for the workforce issue.
I think the solution, and boy, the first state that can really solve it will be at quite the competitive position. But in my opinion, the solution is first you need to retain the talent that you have, then you need to develop the talent that you have, and then you need to continue to develop the talent that you have before you even try to think about recruiting new talent. So in terms of those public-private partnerships, when it comes to finding workforce solutions, as the entire country faces an aging population, I think the folks that can establish those partnerships between industry and academia, those will be the folks that lead in economic development for the next few decades.
Generational differences in economic development.
That's a great question. I don't think they're as wide as some may think. You know, I think the ability to build quality relations, to be empathetic and understanding of the company and their business case, I think that things like that transcend generations.
You're spot on, Wade, on everything you said. You've been very, very helpful today and insightful to the listening audience. Your work and your insights are why several people nominated you to be on this list. Congratulations, and thanks for being on the podcast today.
thank you for having me, Tim. We think very highly of Consultants Connect, and it's very kind to be thought of. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to North America's Top 50, produced by Consultant Connect, where we're working to bridge the gap between leading economic developers and location consultants. To learn more about what we do and how to get involved, please visit consultantconnect.com or tweet me at Ron Kitchens.